I can't believe how much I pushed her away and how much I really believe that I don't need anybody else. I was just going back into what made me feel safe. And I'm just so glad that you actually pushed past my programming and my avoidant attachment style. And you were my support. How dare I, in the times where I don't feel safe, how dare I go into the thought of I want to release myself from this relationship? I want to no longer rely on that cycle. It served me once upon a time, but it no longer serves me now.
Hey y'all, I'm Natalie.
What's up y'all, my name is Lauren.
And we are reconnection coaches and we help couples navigate through periods of disconnect so they can stay in reconnection much longer.
Yes, so we built this platform so that we can show you the ins and outs of what actually goes on within a healthy relationship.
In today's podcast, we're talking about the energy of disconnect and what it feels like to sit in the discomfort and allowing you to release control from trying to solve something.
Periods of disconnect doesn't mean anything's wrong with your relationship. It actually is an invitation for you to reconnect with yourself.
So I hope you guys enjoy this podcast.
Welcome to our clubhouse. We are drying our clothes. So if you're wondering what the sheet is, that's what's happening.
Yeah, there's a clothesline above us. We're out on the patio of our Airbnb, just doing a little laundry.
Just doing life.
Yeah, just coming off of just so much energy, so much like energy transference. And specifically, we recorded another podcast episode about what the last 2 weeks have felt like for us. And so this is like another day of introspection.
Yeah, and reflection. One thing that we are constantly learning in our relationship is that we go through cycles.
Yes, painful cycles.
Yes, and we are recognizing or becoming better orchestrators of the cycles that we're experiencing. And if I were to draw a chart, like the cycle that all relationships, especially long-term relationships and even healthy relationships will go through is a period of connection where you feel completely in alignment. You feel, you know, you can talk about anything. You feel very safe in just how you guys show up. And then from that phase of connection, you move into this period of disconnection. And that period of disconnection is extremely uncomfortable. And that period of disconnection, I started writing some stuff down. That period of disconnection makes you, it's honestly the height of when we're triggered. Like we're triggered about something, we're feeling unsafe about something.
So these peaks and lows that you're talking about, when you talked about the peak, it can almost feel like the honeymoon phase over again. You feel like you can't get off of each other. You don't want to spend time away from each other.
Connection phase.
And that's what it felt like for us. Literally 2 weeks ago, we were all over each other. Did not want to do any activity without each other. And then almost immediately, like, I don't even think that it was a trigger. I just think that on my end, I just no longer needed or wanted that again, like that at that time. Nothing was wrong. It's just that it's like almost something shifted within me. And it's like, okay, I need something different. I may not need physical touch. I may not need quality time. It seems like I needed quality time with myself. And so in this this roller coaster where it's just like an immediate drop, we were experiencing two different experiences, and we just had 2 weeks of riding this roller coaster and actually trying something different than what we usually do.
That is probably the key in first just like identifying what the cycle is that you guys go through, but being able to understand the cycle to a degree where you can start to shift and break what usually happens to see if you can get to another or a new result. And I always like to, and this new result hopefully will bring you to from your disconnection into like repairing whatever's going on, reconnecting with each other. and then elevating or like just bringing you and your relationship just to another level of understanding, another level of connection, another level of appreciation of each other. And so every single time we go through this cycle, it's heart-wrenching, it's gut-wrenching. But
why did it feel so gut-wrenching for you in your experience?
For me, in my experience, I'm turning inward, and I am faced, because I definitely think it's because of my anxious attachment style, I'm faced with like feeling this deep level of shame, of guilt, questioning myself, what did I do wrong? What more could I do? You know, like, why am I this person? Why can't I meet you and what you're asking for? And so it's like, it's shining a light on things that I don't even like, I guess, about myself, or I'm realizing that is like, why am I doing this, or why am I this person?
So that was your response to, I think, like going into the actual experience, you reached out and tried to touch me or reached out to connect as we were before, not too long before. Mm-hmm. And when you said you experienced rejection. And so that is what triggered the feeling of unsafety. It's like, oh, she doesn't want to touch. Oh, she's
rejecting
what did I do? What did I do to make her not want to touch me? And so
I think more so, why is it that I need to feel the need to reach out to her? Why can't I be okay in sitting with myself when I'm feeling this anxiety? Why am I reaching out to her and causing this weight that it seems like you're having to hold, this weight, this emotional weight, to be my grounding?
Did you recognize that it was anxiety? Like, what was that experience like for you?
I recognized at the very beginning of what this disconnect started, the anxiety that started like rising within me, just noticing that you were wanting to spend more time by yourself and really sitting and feeling like the uneasiness and the decentering that happens within me. Because now I'm like getting super in tune to you and what you're going through and what you're feeling. And you're telling me like, you're fine, you're okay, like there's nothing wrong. But I'm just like, how is there's nothing wrong when just last week we were all over each other? You know, it does, to me, the shift didn't make sense. And to you, it's like this, you were explaining to me, like, I don't need anything from you.
Is like what you were trying to provide. I think at that initial conversation, I was saying, I'm not needing that right now. I understand that you need it, but I'm not needing it right now. I'm sensing that I'm needing something else, and I'm trying to go within to fulfill that. What you told me was, well, when you turn inward and you are disconnecting from me, I feel lonely. I feel mm-hmm. alone. And you trace that back to an experience you had.
When I'm going through this period of disconnect and we're sitting in these really uncomfortable feelings that's triggering me to do or to make something happen or to reconnect or something like that, that is a time for that forces me to think like, all right, when have I felt this feeling before? When have I experienced this level of abandonment or loneliness
or rejection?
As women, period, you always kind of go back to that mother relationship,
parental.
Yeah, it could be your mother or your father. For me, it's my mother relationship, the mother daughter relationship, and how I believe my mom is kind of emotionally unavailable, is not really a physical person, and in the environment I grew up in, it was an angry environment. There was a lot of fighting, a lot of arguments, a lot of yelling. I just remember just not wanting that to be my reality. And so my effort, and this is really where that anxious attachment style comes in at, was trying to make everything okay so there wouldn't be an argument. Make everybody happy or calm, pleasing everybody else so that their needs were met and there was no reason for them to be upset.
So you internalized and thought that, okay, it's going to be my responsibility to make everything okay.
Yeah, I mean,
like if my mom is upset or the environment is kind of like shifted to where everyone's uncomfortable, I'm going to do something to make people comfortable again.
Right. Yeah. In that environment, I didn't learn how to maneuver through my emotions. I didn't learn how to sit with myself. I've learned how to dissociate and not like I learned how to like not feel in a way.
When it comes to other people's emotions?
When it comes to even my own emotions.
Okay, so you were responding to the shift and the uncomfortability in the house. Mm-hmm. You took on that responsibility of trying to make people feel comfortable in the house. Mm-hmm. And without trying to deal with your own emotions, you dissociated from your emotions and you went straight to...
into fixing.
Mode. Fixing, yeah. And you're like, there must be an action that I can take to make you feel better.
Right.
And so that made... You neglected your feelings all this time.
Right, right. And so in that space, in this space, in this cycle, predominantly, I really sat with that initial twinge of anxiety that is the culprit of pushing me to do something. Mm-hmm. And that's like where the disgust, it's not like I was disgusted at myself. It just felt disgusting to feel. And I think that that's one of the things that we always do. We're always running away from these nasty, like, uncomfortable feelings. And we're focused on trying to move past it and do something to fix it to not feel that feeling.
And that's natural. We don't like to feel bad. I hate feeling bad. I have leaned so much on my intellectual mind of, oh, I feel this emotionally, so I'm going to compartmentalize and I'm going to organize these feelings and emotions and I'm going to think my way through it so that I can feel better. And so that's what I've relied on so many years. And in a way, I think that I've developed a level of control, and this aspect of control that I'm talking about just blew my mind because I never thought about control this way. Because I don't like the way I'm feeling, I try to minimize how long or how short I'm sitting in that feeling. So yes, you dissociate and never figure out how to sit with your emotion. Me, I can sit with my emotion. I'm aware of the emotion, but I don't like to sit in it for long. I will snap straight into intellectual mode and I will think my way out of it so that I can function again, so that I can interact with people again, so people can't see that I'm visibly upset because that was uncomfortable for me. In this relationship, I can't run. I can if I want, but I don't want to because this relationship is so healing to me. I think that I've realized that it is not about how much I love you. It is not about what you do for me in this relationship. It's not about any of the transactional things or the... All of those things are great, but the reason why I stay and the reason why I love this relationship so much is because I get to learn about myself in ways that I did not get to learn about myself when I was single or in any other situation. This is the part that people don't like to look at or don't really analyze. Your relationship is not what you can do for me. Even though you are showing me this mirror that we talk about all the time, but it is a way you're in relationships, not so that you can be together forever and that you can get married and live happily ever after, although that's the result that everybody's attached to. But the real reason why you are in relationships is because you want to know who you are, what you are, and how you show up in this world. That is literally why you incarnated into this realm. Is because Source, God, whatever you want to name it, you want to get to see yourself in ways that you cannot see yourself. This microphone cannot see itself. I can see the microphone. I can see what color it is. I can see I could see how it sounds and what it's doing for this video. But there are some ways and some ways that that objects and people and things cannot see themselves. And that is what's so exciting to me. And that's why I do this work. And that's why I subject myself to the pain that comes along with awareness. This relationship is so painful and so uncomfortable, not because you're causing me pain, not because I'm in physical pain, not because this is so toxic and unhealthy. It's so painful because my ego wants to tell me, no, leave this relationship. You feel unsafe. Abort, get out, which happens all the time.
Yeah, it's not me, it's them.
Yes, girl. When we be, oh my gosh, my ego is trying to just put blame on you. But I realized, like, in this 2 weeks, I've never been able to sit with the uncomfortability for this long. I would force us to have conversations within the 24-48 hour span.
Yeah. And talking about that, about how you kind of would force premature conversations to essentially pull us to the finish line.
Yeah, because I was so uncomfortable. Like, we don't need to fight and argue. Let's talk about this. And I did not know that I wasn't creating space for you to expand. I didn't know that I was hindering your expansion. In your own personal journey, you should have the space to expand and contract on your own timing. And I had no idea that I was
in a way
hindering that.
In my experience, in like our dynamic, you pulling us to the finish line did not help the anxiousness that I felt, the shame that I felt, the guilt that I felt. It just strengthened that. Yeah. It continuously perpetuated it, because that now you're telling me how you're doing all this work, carrying the load of our relationship on your back to make sure that we're good. And all I've ever asked is for space and time.
And I didn't know what that looked like. When you said, give me space and time, I had no idea what that looked like until this time.
And for me, I didn't talk.
I didn't start conversations. I didn't ask you what your thoughts were. Hey, my famous line is like, hey, what's going on in your head? And I feel like your little characters from Inside Out is like going around in a circle, like, oh my gosh, she just asked a question. Oh my God. Mm. If you watch any of our previous videos, you always talk about how you go through this anxiety because I'm asking you questions and it makes things worse. And I always thought, like, it's just questions. It shouldn't make you feel this way.
Yeah, but for me, it's like, I should have an answer. Yeah. Why don't I have an answer? It's because for me, I'm a very, I call myself an emotionally rich person, meaning that I feel everything. I don't necessarily am thinking about what's happening. I'm feeling what's happening. And so sometimes words are not even enough to connect with you in terms of what is going on.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't even know, especially with my own self being so detached from my core, my true feeling, like I have to sit with myself. You asking me, how much time do you need? How much time is it going to take for you to heal? That's such an ambiguous question. I don't know.
What I love about this conversation and what I learned during this 2 weeks is what time and space look like. And I just had it and it just left. But I just really loved that I had to go through that. I had to push and push and push and carry and carry and carry and force conversations until it was not working for us no more. And I understand that we outgrew that template. And in this 2 weeks, we are now forming a new template to continue to grow with.
Yeah, and this is part of that. I want to talk about like the energy of disconnect and how reading that energy of disconnect is imperative in giving yourselves the space, individual space, and the individual time to honestly be with yourself.
Yeah.
Disconnect is the energy of disconnect is
an invitation to reconnect with yourself.
Yes.
A disconnect in a relationship does not mean it's a bad thing. It just means that it is now an invitation to turn to yourself and reconnect with yourself. Yes. Allow that time and space to allow your relationship to expand. When I went and did my own thing, that gave you the time and space to be free.
Yeah.
And do your own thing.
What does it feel like to be stuck in the space of disconnect versus going and reconnecting with yourself?
Oh man, so it was completely different. When I actually left the house and went for a walk.
Well, start with like what it feels like when you're in the space of disconnect.
When I'm in the space of disconnect, like I said before, I am anxious. I immediately want to go and control how long I'm in my anxiousness, which I want to say, I did not know that it was anxiety that I was feeling. I thought that I was being solution oriented. I thought that I was
being
helping. I thought I was helping the situation. I'm like, oh, we're using open and honest communication. We have to be able to use our emotional awareness, be aware of how you're feeling, and then talk about it. I did not know the caveat in there was to allow your partner to come to you in their timing. Allow your partner to gather up their feelings, minimize their triggers, and then feel safe enough to come and have a conversation. I skipped all those steps. Didn't even know those steps were there.
Yeah, and being so action-oriented and thinking that if you're doing this, then that means that you're trying.
And if you're not doing it, then that means you're not trying.
Right.
Your heart is. And I think that that is the wall we kept running into. Because that was the narrative that I kept preaching, is that I think that you're not trying the things we know we should try.
Right. Like, oh, we have the skills. There's no reason why we should be experiencing this again, while not giving us the grace, our relationship, the grace to grow.
Oh my God. I knew I heard the dog, but I didn't know that it was this close to me. It scared me.
What up, little nigga?
But yeah, you're not giving your relationship the space to be able to be, to grow and in the ways that it needs to grow.
And mature in the way that it needs to mature.
Yeah. And not having trust. Having trust that your partner can and will meet you in their own timing.
Let me tell you the thought I had when we were going through this. Every single time we're in a disagreement, because we don't have arguments, we have disagreements. When we have a disagreement, I have this internal belief that if I am not being proactive in trying to fix the relationship and fix what I feel like is broken, fix whatever conversation that made her feel unsafe, that the relationship would crumble. And I literally felt like if I wasn't doing all that I can do, that I'm going to be the reason why this relationship fails. You know what? Not that I'm the reason, but I just felt like it was my responsibility. And in that, I felt all my energy depleting. I felt like I was spending so much energy in trying to have these proactive conversations. And I ran into this burnout. I ran into this burnout. And you know what I did next? I came to you and I was like, I don't like the way I feel, because I feel like I'm giving all this energy. And if I don't do these things, then our relationship, I was projecting onto you that, hey, I'm putting in all this energy, which is just an internal pressure that I gave to myself, because I did not know that my internal belief thought that if I don't do it, that 2 weeks was hell for me, because I really thought that our relationship was going to end.
And that is really interesting that you say that, because you, anytime we get to this,
I'm like, this flight. I didn't know that this was flight for me.
Flight, yeah. The last time you 6 months ago, we went through this again. We were in Thailand and you proposed us to break up. It was in the midst of this uncomfortable discomfort feeling, and everything around you was confirming the thoughts that you were having. And you based a decision and a very stark, jarring choice to separate. And I feel like anytime we're in that space, that is your res-
Like,
that is what I go to. And you know what? I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop that cycle. This time around, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to allow my thoughts to be present. Fine. You feel like this relationship is about to end. You feel like y'all are energetically misaligned. You feel all these things. You feel like it's her fault. You feel like her insecurities are getting in the way. I let those thoughts be there. And I thought about it. And then in the midst of that, my higher self showed me that whatever I was seeing in you was also present in me. I saw my own insecurities. I saw my own inner child feel so unsafe and felt like I needed to push everybody away because that's what I learned when I was younger. And that's what I relied on. And that was a previous experience that I relied on. And I was like, you know what? Let's start pushing her away because she is the ops. Like, you know, and I keep saying it because it blows my mind, but I'm so glad that I got to get out of that and see it for what it was.
But you had to sit in the energy of discomfort.
Yes.
To be able to be, I don't want to say be okay, because feeling just that energy of not being able to talk to me or vice versa, or not being able to look at me the same, or all the thoughts spiraling in your head. That is the energy of disconnect. And in that space, any kind of solution that you're trying to get to, it's not going to be long-term. It's not going to be something that is lasting, because neither parties are in a space to come together, to have their triggers and have their nervous systems calm to a place where they can be receptive to that.
We're energetically different. We were, I was not open to receive. You were not open to receive. We turned our receivers off. We weren't going to hear each other. We could have said the same words that we spoke to each other on yesterday and the day before. We could have said that 2 weeks ago and it would not have transferred. It would not have been received and accepted, because we were operating still out of a place of hurt and out of a place of unsafety. We had to first reach safety first. What do I need? I needed to disconnect from you. You showed me something about myself that I didn't like. It ruffed my feathers. You were shown something that you didn't like. It ruffed your feathers. So then we had to disconnect, go within ourselves, and really look at it and just say, okay, I feel safe now. Oh my gosh. In the midst of this, I'm on my period, okay? That's a whole other thing. Side note, I had a really, really bad experience. I've been having these for a really long time, but in the past year, I've had two excruciating bad periods, bad menstrual cycles that left me in debilitating pain. I was on the day that I left the house and we went to go spend time by ourselves. I was ending my day and I decided to stop at the mall and my cramps started to start. And I could not walk. I sat on a bench next to strangers and asked a stranger if she had medicine. My pains were getting increasingly worse. And I was on the floor in the bathroom in fetal position in pain. You know what? I called you and you asked me, how was I doing? And you saw that it was one of those periods. And I told you not to come.
Yeah.
In the midst of pain and in the midst of being, I still decided to push you away and just say, hey, don't come. Not because I was mad at you. Not because I didn't think that you was going to help or anything like that. I was so comfortable being by myself and being my support that I was unwilling to let anybody support me. There was a young boy who helped me to the restroom, carry my bag and everything. And I barely wanted his help. I'm so grateful for him, but I barely wanted his help. She eventually came.
You messaged me that you were in pain and that your cramps had started. And I wasn't really thinking any much of it until I was like, let me ask her, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad are these cramps?
And I said a 25.
And she said 25. And in that knowing how bad her cramps are, I had a choice, right? I said, I'm coming.
I don't even think I asked you to if no, should I come.
I just said don't come.
I said I'm coming, and you said no, don't come.
Yeah.
And I in receiving that text message, I had a choice. I in the space that we were in.
Yeah.
And in my ego-centered self, I could have been like, all right, I'm not going to come.
Yeah.
And I could have just left you there suffering, and because you were the one that told me not to come.
I was on that floor for like an hour at least.
Yeah. But then I sat with my, I sat, it wasn't even a long moment, because I had to deflate my ego and allow my heart to speak in that moment, and knowing how bad of pain you were in, despite the words that were coming out your mouth, and despite how you were pushing me away still in the height of your pain,
yeah,
that I didn't even have keys to get out of the gate. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to make it to her, but she needs support.
Yeah. And the mall was not even a 10-minute ride away, but you got your way to the mall. You got there very quickly, in my opinion. And I'm so glad that you came, because I couldn't talk, I couldn't walk, I couldn't even ask for my own help. And you were able to get me into a wheelchair and get us in an Uber and get us home, which I'm just so thankful for in the midst of what was going on. And what I realized in that moment is, wow, in the midst, I can't believe how much I pushed her away and how much I really believe that I don't need anybody else. Because of that's a programming that my subconscious automatically goes into. I wasn't consciously thinking.
Yeah.
I was just going back into what made me feel safe. And I'm just so glad that you actually pushed past my programming, yeah, and my avoidant attachment style. And you were my support. And in that made me feel safe. That made me be open to a further conversation later that evening, the morning after, day after. We were now in a space where both of us felt safe, and we felt like we can come together and we can talk.
Yeah.
And it just took all of that. And I'm just like, oh my God, like I the order of events and what everything that happened is just like, it was working in our favor.
One of the things that I spoke to my therapist about, and I've told you this as well, is no matter how much people say, like, I don't need help, or like, can only depend on myself, that is a lie.
Yeah, I tell her all the time, I don't really need anything from people. But I realized that that's actually my programming talking, that I actually do need people. People do need people. But what I really, really need is I want to feel safe, and I want support. And I think that my life experiences have taught me that in the ways that I want support, that it doesn't show up, and doesn't mean I'm not supported, but in the ways that I want support, when it doesn't show up, I get really upset and I get really mad and I close off and I push everybody away and I feed more into my programming that I don't need people.
And sometimes you don't even know what kind of support that you do need. I don't think
that's true.
In that specific incident, you were not even thinking about I need help getting out of this getting off this bathroom floor to get home. Like,
yeah, I actually, that thought went through my mind, and I was like, oh my gosh, our Airbnb is on top of this hill. How the fuck am I going to walk up this hill? Because I can't even walk. I couldn't even walk 10 feet. I couldn't walk 3 feet.
And the thing is we have ways that we want people to show up for us while also not knowing or not being truly familiar with the ways in which truly matters how people can show up.
Yeah. Because I'm weak. If you're anything like me, you're so used to just shutting things down, and you're so reliant upon past experiences because that's what you've learned that you can rely on. But oh my gosh, time and time again, you show me that, like, I didn't even know I needed this type of support. I didn't know that I needed this type of love.
You didn't know that you needed to feel seen or feel free to express yourself.
Yeah, I'm learning different parts of my inner child that I've never in so many years. I've lost contact with this inner child and this relationship. How dare I in the times where I don't feel safe, how dare I go into the thought of I want to release myself from this relationship and flight and avoid and continue to avoid. I want to break that cycle. I want to no longer rely on that cycle. It served me once upon a time, but it no longer serves me now. I am now in a safe relationship where I can rely on somebody. She can see me even when I am pushing her away. She can support me in ways that I didn't even know that I can even want support. And so I'm now declaring I'm breaking that cycle. My ego, I'm going to have a talk with her, because we're going to have more experience. We have to pay attention to more future and present experiences that we can rely on. We no longer have to rely on when we were 7 or when we were 3 and when we were 12. That support is not relevant to us right now. We right now have a healthy relationship, and I cannot run every time it gets hard or it gets tough. I think this is a good ending. Yeah. Well, I hope you enjoyed being at our clubhouse. Please comment below how this resonated with you, which part resonated with you, and what are you currently learning throughout your cycles, your relationship cycle, your familial cycles, not your menstrual cycle, but your relationship cycle.
I mean, true. Sometimes your menstrual cycle can be causing your relationship cycle.
That's so true. So many circumstances can.
The moon cycle.
Yeah. Everything, man. Dive into it. Journal about it. Message us about it. I truly enjoyed this talk. And even though this 2 weeks was so hard, I learned so much with just sitting with my uncomfortable feelings. So now I learned to use less words and just release and detach and to release the control. I don't have to control how long I'm sitting in my uncomfortableness. I can just let that be an invitation to show me. Thank you for showing me. All right, y'all.
Bye, y'all.